good morning, Relevant. How y'all doing today? Good? Okay. There's a little feedback. I like it. As Ronnie said, my name is Coleman Marion. I'm the high school pastor here at Relevant Community Church, and I am so excited to be for that you are joining us for this series that we're starting, the series called On Repeat. But before we jump into this series, I just want to kind of talk about the elephant in the room. I realize most of you probably have no idea who I am. Like, you probably see me over there talking and baptizing people. Maybe you have a high school student who knows me, has heard me speak before. So I want to give you a little insight on me before we jump in, just so we feel like we know each other a little bit more. So a little bit about me. First and foremost, I'm married to my amazing wife, Justice. That's us. We just celebrated 5 years of marriage on Thursday. Yeah, people keep saying that's like the first big one. We got to go to Mahogany's last night, got some steak. It was real good. Justice and I, we do not have any kids. However, just like most people our age, we do have three dogs that pretty much are kids. These are our three dogs. They're all husky mixes of some sort. So if you know anything about huskies, you know that means there is a lot of hair and there's a lot of noise in our house. On top of all that, as Ronnie said, I've been attending Relevant since the fall of 2011 when I was in eighth grade. So middle schoolers, I was just like one of you sitting there listening to Ronnie yell at us when Relevant was significantly smaller. And I was a part of Relevant Student Ministries, which later became known as Rooted and Youth United. And then I went to college here locally studying pastoral ministry, where ultimately Relevant would hire me as one of the first LDPs, which is our internship program here. Then they would hire me to co-lead Rooted, our middle school ministry, for about 6 months. That didn't go well. And ultimately, they hired me on January 1st, 2020, to lead our high school ministry, Youth United, and I've never looked back. So now that you know just a little bit about me, you're going to hear more throughout our time together today, because I love to tell stories, but I want to talk a little bit about our series On Repeat. Because when Ronnie brought this series up to me, it really got my brain thinking about what are some of the things that are on repeat most in our lives. And immediately my mind went to the playlists that you and I listen to on repeat. Like, maybe you have a Spotify playlist or an Apple Music playlist. Maybe you're the one person in the room that has Amazon Music still. And you make this playlist, you curate this playlist, and you're like, I'm going to have the best playlist that's ever been put together by anybody. And there's some people, they got some really good playlists. When I was in high school and I first got Spotify, I was getting ready to get my first car. It was a 1970 Plymouth Fury. Great car, awesome car. And at that point in high school, I was really into 80s rock. Like, my mom raised me with 80s rock around, so I loved 80s rock. I'm like, I'm going to make the greatest 80s rock playlist of all time. And over a few months, I started creating this playlist that, in a really cringy way, I named the Good Stuff Playlist. Like, it was my favorite one. And I ended up curating this playlist of 190 classic 80s rock songs that was about 13 hours long. And I love this playlist. Like, I would get in my car in my old Plymouth Fury had an aftermarket stereo in it, so I could plug my phone in, and I just hit play. And wherever I stopped last time, it just kept going. And as soon as the playlist was done, it would go over again, and I would just listen to it on repeat over and over and over again. Now, as an adult, I don't listen to quite as many playlists anymore. I don't listen to music as much. I listen to a lot of sermons, a lot of podcasts. However, there is still one playlist that is always on repeat in my life. You see, every year we take a group of high school students to Daytona for our high school camp. It's much more like a conference. And saying we take a group is a little bit of an understatement. We took 94 high schoolers this last year to Daytona. And about a month before we go, they give us this playlist of all the worship songs that we're going to be singing while we're there. Normally, I listen to it because while, yes, I'm 28, to them, I'm old, and I don't know the songs that they're actually singing and what they're worshiping to. So I'm like, I got to know these songs before we go. And then we get there, we worship together. It's so powerful. And especially this year, the playlist was so good. The worship set was so good. Those songs changed the lives of our students, and those songs changed my life. And so that playlist to this day is something that is on repeat over and over and over in my head, in my car, and like in my AirPods. Now, I don't know if you knew this. As I was digging into this series, you actually have the ability to look up other people's profiles on Spotify. And so I'm like, I want to do a little bit of digging. I want to find somebody's profile. And I want to just kind of look at it. I want to see some of the playlists that they have, because if you find someone's profile and they don't make their playlist private, you can actually see the songs that they listen to and you can actually use their playlist. And so I did a little bit of digging and I found this for sure unrelated, for sure has nothing to do with anybody at Relevant here. Seriously, not somebody here. I can't stress that enough, but a random Spotify account called Buff Pastor 67. And I mean, that he looks familiar, but there's no way that's him. And here's the thing. There is only one playlist that was available. There's only one public playlist. And so I was like, let me see what this is. And if I had to describe this playlist in any way, it would be variety, because there are some interesting songs that Buff Pastor 67 is working out to. So let's take a look at what the first song is that's on his playlist. That one makes sense, right? Like, this was for sure on my Good Stuff playlist. Like, that was one of the top ones. I've got that song on vinyl to this day. Great song, great one to work out to. All right, song number two.
Life gave me some lemons, but okay. My Jesus, he
Buff Pastor 67, he's a little bit like modern with the Christian music. Makes sense. I don't know if I'd work out to Lemonade too much, but let's see what the next one is. That's horrible. I can't pick a worse song than that one. That one's gonna be stuck in my head for the rest of the day. All right, the last song, the fourth song from Buff Pastor. Buff Pastor 67, that he was going to be a Swiftie. He had to be a Swiftie. So again, some great songs from a completely random, unrelated Buff Pastor in our area. Now, isn't it true that our favorite playlists are on repeat in our cars? Our favorite playlists are on repeat in our AirPods? And for some of us, our favorite playlists are on repeat even in our homes. But I don't know about you, but for me, my favorite playlist, sometimes I don't even have to be listening to the music for me to have it stuck in my head. Like I could just be sitting there with no music on, and for some reason that one song is just still stuck in my head, playing over and over and over again. And sometimes it's a really good song, and you're okay with it, right? Like when you got a good song stuck in your head, you're like, this is great, I'm fine with this one, I'll keep singing it. And then sometimes it's Friday by Rebecca Black, and you're like, I need to get rid of this as soon as I can. This is terrible. I hate it. And then other times, there's times where it's like, I just got this song that's stuck in my head that I can't even figure out what it is. Like, you know that feeling when you can't get rid of the song? Like, you hum it, and you sing it in the shower, and you hear it everywhere, but for some reason, you can't quite put it together. You can't quite figure out what the song is. Like, you just keep going, you keep going, and then finally you turn to your coworker, you turn to your spouse, you turn to one of your friends, you're like, do you know what song this is? And you hum it poorly, and they're like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Then you're like, Siri will for sure know. So you ask Siri, and Siri's like, dude, how do you think I'm gonna get that out of what you just sang? Like, but it's stuck in your head, but it's just, the song's right on the tip of your tongue, but you can't seem to figure out what song or what source it's actually coming from. See, there's truly few things that are more annoying than not knowing what the actual song is. So let me ask you this. What if what is on repeat in your head is not some pop song? It's not a song that makes you feel nostalgic. It's not something that is going to be on your Spotify playlist, and you're not going to hear it on the radio. In fact, it's not even a song at all, but it's words. And like the songs that we sing, some of them are good, and some of the words you enjoy. But then there are some where you know this is not something that should be on repeat in your head. The words that you know that they're not encouraging, you know that they're not good, and you need to get rid of them. And then other times you can't figure out where they came from at all or where those thoughts originated from. But you do know that they are just stuck. I can still remember the first thing that was on repeat in my mind as I took that first step out of childhood and into adulthood, my senior year of high school, going into college. And you see, what was going on in my life at this point was a lot of doors had just been shut for me. What I thought I was going to do with my life was no longer an option. And pretty much my entire life was one giant question mark. I didn't know what my future was going to be like. I didn't know what next step I was going to take. I was really lost. And then I got a text. I got a text from Ronnie. And as a senior in high school, I could probably count on both my hands the total number of conversations I had had with Ronnie. And I guarantee you the number of conversations I had one-on-one with Ronnie leading up to that point was zero. And so when he texted me and said, hey, let's get some coffee and let's talk, of course I said yes. And within 24 hours, I was sitting at a Scooters with Ronnie having a conversation about my future. Now, I'm not going to bore you with what went on during that coffee appointment, but I do want you to understand the gist of that coffee appointment. I walked away with three things. The first thing I walked away with was, Coleman, I see you. Leading up to that time, I had been a student leader in Youth United for the last few years. And while I hadn't really interacted with Ronnie that much, it meant so much to me that he was noticing me as a leader, that he was noticing me as a person who has worked really hard to lead other students and invite other students into our student ministry. He said, Coleman, I see you, and I see you as a leader. The second thing I walked away from was Ronnie told me, I think you should consider going into ministry. Now, I had no idea what that meant. I had no idea what next steps to take. I just knew that Ronnie was like, hey, I see a future for you, and I really feel like God is telling me to communicate this to you. And finally, the last thing I walked away with, he said, if you want my help, I will help you, that he had my back. And walking away from that meeting, I'm telling you, my life has never been changed so much by just one coffee appointment, because I knew that someone I looked up to had my back as I took a next step into life. And because of that meeting, I decided to go to Nebraska Christian College, which was in Papillion. It no longer exists anymore. It died during COVID. But I decided to study pastoral ministry. And it's all because of that first conversation that Ronnie had with me. And I'm telling you, at that point in my life, the things that were on repeat in my mind, they were amazing. The things I was saying to myself, the thoughts that I had going through my mind, they were all so positive. They were all so great. It looked a little bit like this. Here we got my playlist. That was a picture of me as I went into college with some long red hair. And as I was going to college, the first thought that I had was, I got your back. Because I knew Ronnie had my back, and if or when I needed him, I could call on him, and he would help me no matter what the situation was. In fact, just a couple weeks into college, I called him and said, hey, our school makes us do an internship. Can I have an internship at Relevant? And he made one up for me. So he put it together and said, here you go. And he had my back. My second thought was, you can do this. You see, I never thought I would go to college. I was not a good high school student. In fact, I wasn't a great college student either. However, my school really encouraged me and said, I believe that you can do this and you can succeed in college. And so I felt like, all right, I can do this. This is something that I can accomplish. The third one was, you are headed in the right direction. Now, Ronnie is a very wise person. However, I wasn't going to make the decision of what I was going to do with my life just based on the words of Ronnie. I went and I really prayed intentionally, like, God, going into ministry, whatever that means, is that something I should really pursue? Is that something that you would really have for me? And I, God just opened doors that were so obvious for me to start taking these steps that I needed to go in the direction of going into ministry, go to this certain college, and it made so much sense, and I understood what it meant, and it was the right direction. I knew I was headed in the right direction. I was so confident in that. And the fourth thought was, the future is bright. I thought I had it all figured out. I thought I had the next 4 years, like they were going to go great. I was going to finish school with a degree. It was going to be amazing. And ultimately, Relevant would just hire me and everything. I had it all figured out. Eventually, I'd get married, like all this stuff planned good. The future is going to be bright. I'm telling you, I was on cloud nine. And all my thoughts were positive. And when I did poorly on a test, I knew that next time I could do better. When I gave a great sermon at one of my preaching classes, I knew this was just the beginning, and I felt like nothing was going to take me down. My mental playlist that was on repeat looked like this. And it was like I just kept hitting play, and every single day I woke up and I had these positive thoughts going through my mind over and over and over again. And I felt like I was truly walking in the will of God. And I was like, well, if I do this, God just seems to make life really easy. God seems to make life really positive. And I felt like nothing was going to take me down. And I was naive enough to think that this is what real life was going to be like from now on. And I got humbled real quick. In fact, this playlist that was on the screen here, it only made it to my second semester of my freshman year. There was a family who was a really big part of my life at this point, and I'd go over and have dinner at their house often, and we'd play cards and stuff like that. And during one of these dinners, this family, they all looked up at me at the same time, and they said, Coleman, we don't really see you as the pastor type. And, like, that was the statement. We don't really see you as a pastor type. As I had already committed almost an entire year to this, I had committed thousands of dollars to wanting to go and do this for the rest of my life. They looked at me and said, we don't really see you as the pastor type. And in that moment, I'm like, okay, well, you guys have obviously had this conversation without me in the room. Like, please tell me more. Like, tell me about why do you feel that way? And they had a whole list of things. Like, you just don't seem like you're smart enough. You don't seem like you care about the Bible enough. You're not that great of a teacher. And they just kept going with a list of things that I ultimately, as soon as that conversation happened, that playlist stopped. And it wasn't like I just hit pause on it. It's like, hey, in a couple of days, I'll recover and this will start playing again. No, it was like I paused a playlist and I deleted it forever. The thoughts that were on repeat in my mind went from these positive things to all of a sudden, you're not the pastor type. So what did I do? I did what any other dumb 18-year-old would do at the time. I dropped out of school. I left the college. I decided, you know what, this must not be what God has for me, and so I'm going to leave, and I'm going to go do my own thing. Now, that action of leaving God's calling only lasted one semester. I ended up going back to the same college, and I got my degree. However, that thought that you don't seem like the pastor type would stick with me even today, nearly 10 years later. For me, that thought was something like, you're not cut out for this, or maybe even better than that, you're not qualified for this. But for you, it might be something completely different. Maybe you're in this room and all you want in life is to find that person. Who is the right person I'm going to spend the rest of my life with? And all your friends are getting married. All your friends are getting engaged. You're all dating somebody. They're all starting to figure this out. And for you, you just keep going on failed date after failed date after failed date. And now you've convinced yourself. You've convinced yourself that no one will ever love you. And that is on repeat in your mind over and over and over again. Maybe you're somebody who you have found that person that you thought you'd want to spend the rest of your life with and you were going to be happy, but now it's been 5, 10, 20, 30 years and the only thing that you can think about is how nothing is ever going to fix our relationship. And that thought is on repeat over and over and over again. Maybe you're working really hard in school. You're working towards getting through middle school. You're working towards getting through high school. You're working towards getting through that 4, 6, or 8-year degree. And every night you're staying up late. You're studying as hard as you can just for the satisfaction to see that letter A at the top of your paper at the end of the day or to log in on your computer screen and see the 90%. But as soon as you see a C, or even worse, all of a sudden you think, I'm never going to be successful. And that thought is on repeat in your mind. Maybe for you, it's your role as a parent. And you've tried everything. You've tried to love and you've tried to guide. And you've tried to protect your kids as much as you can. But they still make choices that break your heart. And the thought that is on repeat in your mind is, I have failed as a parent. Maybe you've tried. Maybe it's all tied to your past. And in what you've done, or even though you believe that God has forgiven you, the playlist that's on repeat in the back of your mind is you'll always be defined by your mistakes. Or maybe it's about your faith. And you look at other people who seem to be so confident or so strong in their walks with Jesus, and you think, I'll never have a faith like that. The truth is, it doesn't really matter what the words are. Every one of us has something that is on repeat. And it's those quiet lies that start small, but over time, they shape how we think. And I know what you might be thinking right now. I know that you might be thinking like, all right, yes, Coleman, this might shape the way I think, but it's not all that bad. Like, it's just my personal thoughts. It's just my personal playlist. It's not like I'm putting my personal playlist in the car so that my family can hear it. It's not impacting my spouse. It's not impacting my kids. It's not impacting anybody besides me. And as long as I can deal with it, it's fine. But the truth is, the negative thoughts that are on repeat are negatively impacting everything. They are negatively impacting your mental health. They are negatively impacting your emotional health. They are negatively impacting your marriage. They are negatively impacting your ability to work. They are negatively impacting the way that you parent. And most importantly, they are negatively impacting your relationship with Jesus. You see, these thoughts have such an impact on you that Paul, who is one of the main writers of the New Testament, actually addresses this directly and tells us exactly what we need to do. Paul speaks directly about this in 2 Corinthians, but to fully understand what Paul is saying, we need to understand why he is saying, and we need to have a little bit of context about what he is saying. So most of the New Testament is not a collection of books, which is slightly confusing because we do call them the books of the Bible. But the New Testament is actually primarily a collection of letters, which many of which were written by Paul, who ultimately made it his life's mission to spread the gospel or to spread the good news of Jesus as far as he could after he had a face-to-face encounter with Jesus. And he and others would go town to town and they would plant churches, spending time with them, raising up leaders, and ultimately leave that town to go and plant another church. And one of those towns that they stopped in was the city of Corinth. Now, what you need to know about Corinth is Corinth was a very militaristic town. Many of the people who lived there were retired military and would move there to ultimately retire and live out the rest of their lives. And maybe you've experienced this before. I know I sure have. But whenever you take a large number of leaders who come from the same area of life, or in this case, from the same job, they're not exactly the most welcoming to outsiders. And it was no different for Paul, because Paul was not a military guy. In fact, he was a religious guy. And in this day and age, religion and military, opposites. So Paul, he had no credibility with these people. But for some reason, Paul felt like there was a need for him to plant a church, raise up leaders in this place where he was not going to be accepted, and ultimately leave and go plant another one. And that is exactly what he did. He found a way to establish some credibility. He raised up some of the local leaders to run the church that he planted, and ultimately he went on to the next town. But over time, the church of Corinth had some issues, and Paul would find out about them, and so he wrote them a letter. So this letter that would ultimately become known as 2 Corinthians, this is a letter that is addressed to the entire church. And in 2 Corinthians, I just lost my place, that's unfortunate. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, Paul says this: "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." See, again, Paul is writing to the church of Corinth, full of retired leaders, and these people are used to power, these people are used to strategy, these people are used to control. And they respected the strong language and the strong leadership. So Paul is using words like, we demolish, we take captive, we make obedient, because he's using this language to describe a different kind of battle. I mean, these people were used to battle. These people were used to war. These people were used to sending people to ultimately die. They were used to killing people. They were used to a certain type of battle. But what Paul is saying, that the real fight is not with people out there. The real fight is in here. The real fight is in our minds. And the enemy doesn't always attack with swords and soldiers. Sometimes he attacks with lies, and sometimes he attacks with arguments, and sometimes he attacks with ideas that quietly set themselves against God's truth. And Paul is reminding them, by reminding them, he is reminding us that our thoughts can become battlefields. That some of those thoughts come from God's truth, but others come from lies that we believe for so long that we can't even tell where they started. So he says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Paul is saying that there are strongholds. There are mental fortresses that are built by false beliefs. They're built by shame. They're built by fear. And they're built by pride. And they set themselves up against what God says is true about us and what God says is true about him. And he continues, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. See, he's using this military language again. See, when an army was captured enemy soldiers, they wouldn't just like take them and say, all right, you guys stay over here now. Like, they would take them and they would interrogate them. They wanted to find out where those soldiers came from. They wanted to find out who sent them, and they wanted to find out what their mission was. And that is exactly what Paul is telling me and you to do with our thoughts. When a thought enters your mind, don't just accept it. Stop it and ask it, where did it come from? Is this from God? Is this from truth? Is this from love? Or is it from fear, from shame, or from a lie? Paul's challenge isn't just to stop negative thinking. Paul's challenge is to identify it and trace it back to its source. And some of the thoughts that are on repeat in our heads, they aren't from God. And they're on repeat because they're from experiences, and they're from wounds, and they're from lies, and they've been on repeat in our minds for far too long. And Paul says, take them captive. Don't let them run wild. Don't let them define you. Instead, name them and hold them up to Jesus and ask, is this true? And that is exactly what Paul wants you and me to do. And that's what I'm going to challenge you with this week. See, this week, I want you to do one thing. And you might be thinking, one thing? All right, that's pretty easy. I can do one thing. I'm going to be honest with you. This one thing is going to be extremely difficult. Because this one thing is going to take vulnerability. This one thing is going to take you being honest with yourself. This one thing is going to probably be a little bit painful. But if you do this, and if you are vulnerable, and if you are honest with yourself, you are going to set yourself up for success for what we are going to talk about next week. So this thing I want you to do this week, I want you to do this. I want you to take every thought captive. Maybe for you, those thoughts come from things that people have said to you, like you will never succeed. You will never be like them. You always mess up. You will never be loved. Maybe they come from failure or insecurity, or they come from comparison. Maybe they've been playing so long in the back of your mind that you don't even notice them anymore. But this week, I want you to pay attention. Pay attention to the negative thoughts that are on repeat. Every time you feel anxious and every time you feel angry or every time you feel defeated, pause and ask, what is playing in my mind right now? And some of those thoughts are going to sound familiar. And some of them might surprise you. But Paul says, don't let them play in the background. Hit pause. Write them down. Name them, because what you don't name, you can't change. So take every thought captive. What's at stake if we don't get this right? What happens if you and I don't take every thought captive? I mean, I said it earlier, the negative thoughts that are on repeat negatively impact everything. And those thoughts that are on repeat in your mind will negatively impact you in some way. I mean, for me, what was going on in my head, what was on repeat, about a year later after I got hired to lead YU, I was really struggling. I was really struggling to lead. I'd gone through a couple tough moments in my life, and I was in my first year of marriage trying to figure out what it meant to be a husband, and I was learning so much, but I knew I was struggling as a whole, and I knew it, and I knew I wasn't leading well. And in the background of my mind, over and over and over again, I heard, you're just not the pastor type. And it was just this little whisper. And then I would mess up somehow, and that whisper just got turned up just a little bit louder. And then I mess up in another way, just a little bit louder. And every single time I had failure in my life, that thought that was on repeat in my mind just kept getting louder and louder and louder until I could no longer ignore it. And it got so loud to the point that I felt like I was just stuck in my life and there was nothing that I could ever do. And because of it, I was a worse leader. Because of it, I was a worse husband. Because of it, I was a worse person. And nothing changed until I realized what was happening in my mind was impacting my entire world. I just wasn't identifying it. I just wasn't naming it. I was letting it name me. And maybe that's where some of you are right now. That's where you're living your life. And there's a thought that's been naming you, maybe even for years, and it's just sitting there whispering, you're not enough. You're too far gone. You'll always fail. You'll never measure up. And you've let that lie name you. And it has shaped the way that you see yourself. It has shaped the way that you see others. And it has shaped the way that you see God. But Paul says, you don't have to live that way. You can take those thought captives and say, you don't get to name me anymore. And so this week, your one job is to take every thought captive and ask her, you need to ask yourself this question, what negative thoughts are on repeat in my mind? And when something negative starts looping, don't just let it play. Write it down and name it. Because what you don't name, you can't change. And what you don't take captive will take you captive. The good news is this. God doesn't stop helping you at identifying what doesn't belong. He can and he wants to replace it with truth. He can and he wants to replace it with hope. He can and he wants to replace it with freedom from these thoughts. But first, you have to take every thought captive. So don't rush past this. Don't turn that volume down just yet. Listen closely to what has been on repeat and take every thought captive, because the negative thoughts that are on repeat are negatively impacting everything. And you can't replace what you haven't recognized. And you can't renew what you won't name. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for reminding us today that what plays on repeat in our minds matters. Too often we believe lies and about who we think that we are, but not based on who you say we are. God, this week, help us slow down and listen to the thoughts that are on repeat. Give us the courage to take them captive and the wisdom to see where they come from. God, and just allow us to recognize that you are the only one that gets to name us. You call us love. You call us chosen. You call us forgiven. You call us to be free. Jesus, in your name that we pray. Amen.